Well, this morning, we'll be in the book of Mark, if you have your Bibles with you. The book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Mark 14. Last week, Pastor Adam talked about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and the price he paid on the cross for us, and how we as believers have that available to us by asking Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, into our lives. And today we'll look in Mark chapter 14 at a different angle at that, perhaps right before the resurrection and even afterwards. And as we worship in the Word this day, let's shout out this morning this promise in Psalms 150. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And we do praise the Lord through the good times and through the bad times, as we sang about this morning. You know, there's this commercial I remember. I really liked it on television. I don't know if you remember it, or maybe you have never seen it before, but it's a Chevrolet commercial, and it's about the sun rising, and then there's this rooster, and he jumps on the fence rail, and he's about to do his morning duty. However, when he opens his beak up to crow, there's no arousing cock-a-doodle-doo like should come out. Instead, there's this weak kind of squawking sound, kind of like many of us sound with our sinuses, with the wind and stuff going around, comes out of his mouth. And the rooster tries for several times to crow, but just no avail. It's just this weak squawking sound is heard out of his mouth, because now it's panic time for the rooster. Because as he begins to look over the horizon, he sees this big orange glow of a burning sun slowly starting to rise over the hills. And so the rooster's looking around frantically when all of a sudden he spies something across the barnyard, and he scurries over to it, and he hops in the window of a Chevrolet Monte Carlo, and then he starts pounding his beak on the horn, and he gets a little toot, but it's just still not enough. So finally, he pushes down his claw on the horn, and he's able to get a good, strong, solid sound with that, waking up everybody in the neighborhood to the sound of a honking car horn instead of the rooster crowing. And after seeing that commercial, I found it kind of funny when it first aired way back in 2002. I mean, it was creative, and it was a kind of a funny commercial to watch with some humor in it. Of course, the closing lines to the commercial states, it says, "Chevy, the cars you can depend on, the cars that can last." And just like the rooster, most of the time you can probably depend on him to crow, but whenever he can, he'll find some way to get your attention. Speaking of getting attention, Robert Knievel, who took the name of Evel Knievel, many of you remember him. He was an American daredevil who attempted 75 motorcycle jumps between the years 1965 and 1980. And one of his famous jumps was when he jumped over the fountain at Caesar's Palace on November 17th, 1967. Maybe some of y'all remember that scene on TV. He landed short of the ramp, which caused him to go over his handlebars and resulted him in breaking his hip, his pelvis, his femur, his wrist, and both ankles. And he also had a concussion that kept him in a hospital coma for 29 days. And during those 75 jumps, he ended up breaking 433 bones, which earned him an entry into the Guinness Book of World Records as a survivor for the person having the most bones broken in a lifetime. Now, I don't know if that's something that you'd like to make it into the Guinness Book of World Records, but I know I wouldn't. But what's even interesting is his son, Robbie, followed him in his footsteps. He said, Robbie said that he admired his dad, and he just loved what he did, and he began jumping on his bicycle at the age of four, jumping those ramps and so forth. And then he started riding motorcycles at the age of seven. Now, a lot of you cringe when you can imagine a 7-year-old riding a motorcycle. It's just crazy. But then when he was 8 years old, he started performing his first show with his father at Madison Square Garden. And at the age of 12, he began touring with his father, Evel Knievel, where he would perform in the pre-jump shows. And his father even tried talking him out of motorcycle jumping. But Robbie said, you know, he even used to sit in the ambulance where his dad always ended up, it seemed. And his dad would look at him and he'd say, you know, I don't want you to do this. Well, Robbie, he didn't listen to his father. He did end up getting chronic back pain from his many crashes. And at one point, he crashed 6 times out of 15 jumps that he made. And he said, you know, every time I look at that ramp, I said to myself, you idiot, what are you doing this for? But then when he looks at the crowd gets him going. And he says, I've got to do it. It's peer pressure will cause you to do things, a lot of things that you otherwise wouldn't do. And we go along with peer pressure many times because we want to be able to please the crowd as well. I mean, we're to the point many times we're willing to give up what we believe is right in order to please others, even if we know it's wrong inside. Because one of the greatest tests you and I face is if we deny our faith in Jesus Christ because other people who do not believe in Him perhaps may have an effect on us. And so we have to make a choice to stand alone at times, which is hard because we all want to be accepted by others. That's a given fact, proven fact, especially when you're younger. And we also live in a society today when we see a lot of warnings around us to kind of give those hints. I mean, it seems like nowadays everywhere you look, we see a warning to protect us from doing things that we shouldn't or would not have done. Something that tries to kind of wake up our senses to warn us. And in the case of a rooster alarm, those can be kind of annoying at times. But you find warnings on everything. Medicine bottles, food labels, cigarette packages. I mean, everywhere you look, you see warnings. Have you ever noticed your prescription drugs when you pick them up at the drugstore? They have more warnings about the product than actually what the product will do and to inform you about its benefits and uses. I know a lot of times when I pick up my prescription, I get this big long page, sometimes 2 pages, listing me all the side effects and that it may do to me. And I just kind of look at that thing and I see all that type, which is in little bitty print, and I just kind of like lay it aside. Maybe you do the same. Maybe I'm just that way, but I don't want to take the time to read it. I figure my doctor knows what's best for me. But we even have warning labels on our cups of coffee we drink. We buy at fast food places because I guess people apparently don't realize coffee's hot. So we have to put a warning label on there to remind people that what you're drinking is hot. I guess because maybe apparently in the past that there maybe have been some lawsuits and maybe some things like that have happened to them. Don't know how many of you are familiar with the Christian comedian Mark Lowry. He said that he wishes all mothers would have warning lights in the back of their heads. Because he said it'd make it a lot easier on us if they had warning lights in the back of their head that started blinking 5 seconds before they went off. He said, because if they did, you can make a lot of tracks in 5 seconds if you see that warning light go off. But they don't. But these warnings that we receive tell us what to do and what not to do. And I think it would be great if we had a signal, a warning signal, before we said something or did something. And we do, the Holy Spirit. I mean, the things we say that we shouldn't say, it'd be nice just to have a physical warning signal in case we are grieving the Holy Spirit or perhaps haven't been listening to him. Something that said, don't say this or don't do that before you did it. I think that'd be absolutely awesome. But we have the Holy Spirit to do that. You know, I wonder if Peter felt that way after he denied Jesus that one day. If he would have had a signal or something that would warn him or that would just go off. Because Peter, he was a strong disciple. He thought that he was morally and spiritually strong until the rooster crowed. He was one of the men sent to prepare for the Passover meal, the Last Supper. He was one of the men who was closest to Jesus during his agonizing prayer in Gethsemane. He even drew a sword to try to protect Jesus when they came for him, cutting off Malchus's ear. Out of all the disciples, Peter was an all-star. He was the one that we would put on the top of our list to be an elder at the church or perhaps a deacon. He's one that we would want to teach our Sunday school classes, or we would want even maybe to run for mayor or senate or perhaps even president. He was an all-star. But in this moment, his faith collapses and he fell hard. He fell very hard. Because before Jesus' death, Peter made a vow. And he said, Lord, I'll die for you. He was very adamant about that statement. He wanted Jesus to really understand that. But Jesus' answer to Peter was a warning. He had a warning. And it's found in our scripture today. As a matter of fact, let's go there and read it. It's found in our passage today. Mark chapter 14, beginning with verse 66. Follow along with me if you would. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked very closely at him and said, "You were also a Nazarene with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out in the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near to Peter said, "Surely you're one of them. You're a Galilean." He began to call down curses on them, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept. So in verse 72, Jesus tells Peter that the rooster will not crow tomorrow morning until you have denied me three times. Now, it's amazing to me that Peter, the man of questions, he always had questions, didn't have any for Christ that day. Peter didn't even ask how, or what do you mean, Jesus? Well, what can I do to prevent this? No, Peter's only response was, "No, I'm going to die first before I would do that, before I would ever deny you, Jesus." Now, Peter had been around Jesus for a good 3 years. Saw the miracles that Jesus had performed. He saw the power that Jesus had over illnesses. He saw the nature that Jesus had with the power to calm storms. He saw the demons that Jesus had cast out of people. Even death itself, as he witnessed Jesus' command simply by speaking, bringing forth Lazarus from the tomb. He had been there when Jesus had read people's minds and told them even what they were thinking. And he even heard Jesus pronounce what would happen in the future times. Peter himself proclaimed in Matthew 16:16 when he said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So he understood who Jesus was. So you would think that Peter would realize that Jesus knew what he was talking about. You would think that Peter would have taken Jesus' warning a little more seriously than what he would appear to have done. Take heed. Watch out. Watch out, Peter. But Jesus' words to Peter went unheeded. I want us to meet our rooster this morning. And the story behind the rooster kind of goes something like this. As mentioned in our text, one day Jesus said, "Simon, you're going to deny me. And by the way, be careful when you say those words, 'I will never.'" Be careful. Be careful when you say, "I will never." Especially when you say the word "never." Because many of us have lived a long life to eat those words. Amen? And then Jesus did something very strange. He pointed over to a rooster. And he said, "You see that rooster?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord," kind of perplexed. And Jesus said, "Before the rooster crows two times, you're going to deny me three times." "Oh, Lord, that's not true. That's not going to happen." And the Bible says that he went right out within hours, and they arrested Jesus, and they came and they said, hey, you're one of them." And Peter replies, "I am not one of those disciples." The Bible says the rooster crowed. I mean, it's kind of funny that God would use a rooster. I mean, it's really astonishing, but you have to understand it wasn't funny to Peter in any way. Because now after that rooster crowed, suddenly conviction and condemnation and guilt and shame come flooding in to the man who stood by Jesus' very side. For within a few hours after they captured Jesus, he would deny Jesus. And within just a few more minutes, someone else would run out and accuse him. And the Bible said that Simon went and wept bitterly after that second time when he heard that rooster crow. He was weeping. He was crying. He was broken. Just broken. Have you ever been broken? Have you ever just wept bitterly? We've seen it up here before. We've seen snot slinging. People on their knees, just weeping bitterly, weeping before this cross. I mean, it's something to see. I mean, it's not as far as entertainment, but it's when you see somebody that's literally pouring their heart out to God. It's an amazing sight, and it's very humbling. But you see, I think a lot of times we think that's the end of the story concerning the rooster. But in my mind, I think that every time he heard that rooster crow, something in him felt guilt and shame and condemnation. Something made him feel unworthy. Every time he heard that rooster crow, it was like, "Oh my God, how could I have been so stupid? What was I thinking to do something so stupid?" And every time, every morning, he would get up. And in the afternoon, even, he would hear it. And every day, he would hear it. And in my mind, I can just see it, that one day he says to myself, I got to get out of this house. It's driving me nuts. I can't just hide in here from that crowing and what other people are thinking. I've got to quit thinking about Jesus. I've got to get him out of my memory, how I denied Jesus. And so he goes into the city and he starts walking around the city and he starts looking at the sights and looking at the marketplace, and he's starting to feel better, just getting stuff off of his mind, and he's starting to clear his mind, breathing in some fresh air, and he says to himself, "You know, this is the best I've felt in days." And while he's walking, something catches his eye. And suddenly, he looks over. And he sees this rooster staring at him. And the rooster starts flapping his wings a little, and Peter kind of starts to cringe, because it's like he's on edge, because he knows that rooster's about to crow again. But it doesn't crow. It just stares at him. as he walks by. But he's going around with this guilt, and he's going around with this condemnation. And I can see him later that day. He goes into his family's house, and he sits down, and he eats a meal, and things just seem to be coming back to normal after he's with his family and eating a meal. He feels much better, because I know I feel much better after a meal, because you may have so many things weighing on your mind, and you eat a good meal, and afterwards it just kind of seems things are getting better. I know that's why church folks love a meal after a funeral. It just seems that it makes things better, especially if there's fried chicken involved. And I don't know if it has something to do with the blood up here from your head going down to your stomach to help digest your food. I don't know the scientific nature of it or anything, but it's the best I can come up with. It's just that it seems to me that things go better after you eat a good meal for some reason. But I can imagine that's how Peter felt as well. And I can just see him as he goes outside. He's thinking to himself, you know, I've got a great family that supports me and loves me. While he's sitting there, maybe he's picking his teeth with a toothpick or something. And all of a sudden, he hears this fluttering behind him. He turns around and he sees the rooster staring at him. And he hears the sound again when roosters crow. And there he goes again, right back into that guilt and right back into that condemnation and right back into that feeling of unworthiness and being reminded of the horrible mistake that he made. And I can see Simon Peter day after day, just maybe even on the third day after Jesus was crucified, someone even comes knocking at his door and says, Peter, come on, we've got to go to the tomb. Let's go to the tomb. And so he comes out running and he goes to the tomb and he goes there and he finds the tomb empty. And he sees something there looking supernatural. There's this angelic being, and the angel says, he is not here. He is risen. And Simon Peter, he comes out rejoicing. He's rejoicing that Jesus is alive. He has risen from the dead just as he promised he would. But in my mind, I can almost see it. Right there, next to that tomb, on the rock that the angel had rolled away. And after he heard the angel's announcement, the rooster that had been following him. While Peter is shouting, he's alive! He's alive! When all of a sudden, he hears the crowing of the rooster. And now the joy of the resurrection has become overtaken by the crow of the rooster. Now Peter can't even shout. He can't even praise. He can't even lift his hand to the resurrected Savior to rejoice in the Lord. Because his mind is so filled and his ears are so filled with the crowing of the rooster and what it meant. The shame, the condemnation, the guilt, and that awful thing he's done to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his Master. But then one of the disciples says to Peter, come on, Peter, we've got to go to the upper room. And I can see Peter as he gets in that upper room. And that's where, in the book of Acts chapter 2, our story continues and takes a turn. For the Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven. A sound from heaven. You see, there's always going to be a sound from your past crowing in your ear, telling you how stupid, how guilty you are from the mistakes you've made. There's always going to be evidence in your life of pain and the trauma in your life that can really bring you under and back into that depression. Back into condemnation where it just keeps flooding in your life and takes you back to that dark, dark place in your life. But then there's the sound of heaven. The sound of heaven filled Peter. The Bible says that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Because there's something about the Holy Spirit that can break every chain of condemnation. There's something about the Holy Spirit that can break the past, that can break everything that the enemy tries to whisper in your ear. And that's why every one of us need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. For when it fills you, you hear a sound from heaven. You hear a sound from heaven that is greater than the sound of when roosters crow. And on that day, Simon Peter stepped down into the streets of Jerusalem, where people were gathered by the hundreds and by the thousands. And the Bible says that he just stood there and was about to preach his first sermon, where 3,000 people would be saved that day. But before he could preach it, I could just picture that rooster who was sent by the devil. And I can almost see the rooster maybe up in a window somewhere, maybe even by the upper room. And just when he was about to preach, just when he is about to feel good and about being forgiven and about the risen Christ, and just when he's feeling like, I've been able to put my past behind me now, he hears the crow of the rooster. But this time, something's different. This time, he's feeling in his spirit like, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Because you see, this time he has found a name that can give you victory over sin, and victory over guilt, and victory over condemnation, and victory over all of those awful things you have done that keeps crowing like a rooster in your ear and in your mind. And on that day, he preached with passion, with determination, and with a forgiven spirit on the day of Pentecost. And you can read his sermon in the book of Acts in 1 minute, when he preached and 3,000 people were saved. And the story of the rooster is this, that this is where the enemy wants you to live. He wants to keep pulling you. The spirit of depression is coming on strong. And many people today, they come to church and they worship, they hear the word, and they feel the presence of God, and they go out and they have fun with their family, they have fun with their friends, and they're enjoying life. But then one day, they may open that door and there it is. They hear the crow of the rooster in their mind. And they slip right back into that depression, and they become discouraged. And they began feeling down and out. And the enemy fills your mind with depression. And if that's not enough, you can still hear the crowing of that rooster. Echoes that want to convince you of how sorry you are. Of how unworthy you are. And of how sinful you are. How could you deceive this person? How could you let this person down in your life? Or betray their trust? The crowing of the rooster keeps echoing in your mind, just as the accuser of the brethren does, for the Bible says that. The Bible mentions that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. He is accusing us day and night. And the enemy wants to keep you there and hold you there. Because as long as he has you looking at depression and listening to the past, he has you right where he wants you. But then the sound of heaven, when it fills you, that's what changes things. And that's what makes the difference in you. As a believer, as a disciple of Christ, life will begin to shine in you now. And hope will fill your life as you allow the wind of the Spirit to blow through those windows of your soul, letting God fill you with his presence. Because now you have a reason to rejoice. Now you have a reason to celebrate, a reason to sing about our risen Savior. And that's why we preach so many times how important it is to allow Jesus to come into your heart, allow the Spirit to work in your life. Don't just give Him limited access as a visitor. Allow Him to come in your life. Once you stand on the faith of Jesus Christ in your life and you realize that you're covered by the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, you can now stand with confidence and you can now stand strong and you can now stand with boldness by saying, "Crow, rooster, crow. Crow all you want to. I'm covered. For I am standing on the faith of Jesus Christ, and I'm cleansed by His blood, and you are powerless against it." We've got to get that in our spirit. If you don't, you're going to always hear the crow of the rooster, and it's always going to put you back in that depression. We've got to get that in the heart, because God can still use you. God can still bless you. And there's a name that is greater than all names, and that is Jesus. There's a name that is greater than condemnation and guilt. His name is Jesus. Because life is too short to live days, weeks, months, even years in regret and shame. For life is what it is sometimes. And sometimes you do have to play with the cards that you dealt with. But Scripture says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, "Do not be sorrowful, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Because in life there's going to be problems. And in life there's going to be huge failures that we do. And you can sit there, you can decide to sit there and say, "Well, if I just have done that, or if I just did this, or if I would have just changed that." And if you keep doing that, it's going to absolutely take the joy out of your life. And if that's not bad enough, you begin to hear the rooster crowing again. "You're not good. You're pathetic. You're not a good father. You're not a good husband. You're a horrible mother. You're not a good Christian." Those echoes will continue to crow until it drives you crazy, because Satan loves to depress God's people. But because of Jesus, there's redemption. Because of Jesus, there's a resurrection. And God brought you here today to hear this message. And if you're running from the rooster, today is your day to take control. Today is your day to turn it over to Jesus. Today is your day to give it to God. For whatever the enemy is holding over your head, trying to convince you that you're a failure. That's what he told Simon Peter. That you're just a huge failure. And today is your day to take control over that. Now watch this. On the banks of the same lake where Peter had one of his biggest failures, when he started sinking in front of Jesus while Jesus was trying to walk on water and he wanted to come out and meet Jesus and he started sinking. On the banks of one of his greatest failures, several months later on that same part of the lake, Jesus gave Peter his greatest commission when he said, "Feed my sheep." And I want to say to somebody who may be listening now that you do not need to back off just because you failed at a spot in your life or at a place in your life. Because you may find as well that you get your highest commission from God on the banks of your greatest failure. For out of the banks of your greatest failure will come your greatest commission, will come your greatest calling, will come your greatest anointing. Now, you may not always be able to go back and make a new start. But you can start over now and make a brand new end. Many people have been running from the rooster for years while cowering every time they hear that sound of when roosters crow. There's a story during the opening worship of the annual conference. Bishop Jeremiah Park concluded his sermon with a personal story that was highly effective. He held this ceramic rooster in his hands, and he told the following story about leading by faith instead of allowing fear to lead us. And he said, "My father served in a Methodist church in Korea for many years," he told his congregation. He said, "My family raised chickens. And one of them was a huge, big, and formidable rooster. He says, I was about 3 or 4 years of age when I had an unforgettable encounter with that monster. One day I was passing by the rooster and he was eating something from the ground and he ran up and he started attacking me. And so when young Bishop Park returned home crying, his father asked him what happened. And after listening to his story, his father called him by name and said, let's go to the rooster. And Bishop Park cried out, no, I'm afraid of the rooster, Dad. And his father said, don't worry, I'm going with you. And at this part, the congregation was really thoroughly intensed in the story. And he continued, as he said, his dad continued to urge me to get closer to that rooster. And even though he was afraid, the young Bishop Parker said that he was able to pluck up enough courage within him and step towards that rooster a little closer because his father was behind him. And finally, he was very close to the rooster, and his dad cried out to him, "Kick the rooster! Just kick the rooster!" And Bishop Parker said, "I did," and the rooster ran away, and he never pecked at me again. And he said, "I was afraid. I wasn't afraid after I stepped closer to the rooster and kicked him because my father was right there behind me. Rooster ran away not because of me, but because my father who was with me." And some of you may just need to come outside and face the rooster, while knowing the Father is behind you as well. And today is your day to stand up to take control of that nasty darkness. Now is the time. Just when Peter heard the sound from heaven, now is the time. As the worship team comes up on stage, just want to say God brought you here. God brought you here to become forgiven. God brought you here today to take authority and to be cleansed. And to know what it is to be able to say, as it says in Romans chapter 8, 1, "Therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." No condemnation. If you've ever heard the sound of heaven in your life, then you know that you have authority to take and kick the rooster that's been crowing in your ear. If you never have heard that sound of heaven, you're still running. You're still cringing. But today is a good day to surrender that over to Christ. If you felt Him knocking at your heart's door, and you just kind of ignored it like you do salesmen, or someone coming at your door to try to get you or sell something to you. If you've heard Him knocking at your door, you can open it up by just praying a simple prayer. And just say, "Lord Jesus, thank You for the cross and the blood that You shed for me that cleanses all sin. Please forgive me of my sins and replace my filthy stained robe with a beautiful white garment. And I invite You into my heart to live and through me as my Lord and Savior. Now I am pure again. And now I am clean. And I am forgiven. In the name of Jesus." If you are a child of God and have been running from the rooster, you can pray a prayer by simply saying, "Father, I receive the authority that You've given me through Jesus Christ, my Lord. I stand on the promises that You give me through Your word. And I claim that the blood of Jesus, the most powerful thing against the enemy, of which he has no stand to stand on, I claim that against him and all sins that are covered forever and ever through your name, Jesus. And you have to believe that in your heart and in your mind. And the Bible says that if you confess Jesus with your mouth, you will be saved. Now, at first, when you do that, that rooster is going to keep crowing and crowing and crowing to try to get your attention. But you can stand on the authority given by God to you and by His blood. If you're here today in need of healing or prayer for healing, or maybe to intercede for a loved one, we'd love to pray with you and encourage you. Or maybe you're here to take authority over depression in your life. Or maybe just trying to get rid of those echoes of when roosters crow. You come today as the Spirit leads you, because this is your time.